reading. So our mission, sharing the love, grace and truth of Jesus Christ. Let's think of this as another three-legged stool. If you remember on the very first service we had on the 29th of March, first virtual service, we talked about a three-legged stool of body, mind and spirit. And we just explored how we must be strong in spirit to see us through the pandemic. And then on the 10th of May, on our seventh service, we had another three-legged stool, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And after that, we looked at each leg of the stool on successive Sundays, ending up on the day of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the three-legged stool is going to be stable on whatever ground it's sitting. So it's a nice little picture. So we're now exploring how we should share our faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sharing the love, grace, and truth of Jesus. Who? Me? No, I'm not qualified to do that. That's the vicar's job, surely. He or she is trained to do that sort of thing. No, that's why they wear dog collars. No, it's not. Of course, it's our job. It's our whole church's job. We are disciples of Jesus, his hands and feet on earth, as our vicar at home often reminds us. There's a nice quote about sharing. Whatever we possess becomes of double value when we share it with others. A young couple had just become engaged. I shall love, she cooed, to share all your troubles. But darling, he murmured, I have none. No, she agreed, but I mean when we are married. Sharing our faith, sharing the love, grace and truth of Jesus. Why is that so important, so necessary? There's a powerful book called Sowing, Reaping, Keeping. Let's see if I can get that onto just for a moment. People Centered Evangelism, written by Lawrence Singlehurst in the late 90s, and it's been updated and reprinted. It's a simply wonderful book, mainly because I can actually understand it. There are two premises, his two main premises. Firstly, we are all evangelists. There's nothing special about evangelists, except that we are all evangelists. And the second is that evangelism is all about personal relationships. I'll just read you a brief extract. So what we are looking for is every Christian seeking as best they can to live an authentic Christian life, brackets, not perfect, as that is impossible. And in that authenticity, seeking to love the people to whom God leads them. This is a relationship-based evangelism. If evangelism is a process, then we can all be involved, whether we are 85 years old or 5 years old. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. We can influence a person here, a person there. Let's just briefly look at those three passages that Finlay read. The first leg of the stool, if you like, love. The essence of the Christian faith is quite simply love. Another sowing, reaping, keeping extract very briefly. Do we have love in our hearts for other people? We can create all sorts of evangelistic strategies, methodologies, and programs that encourage us to reach out, but these count for nothing if we do not have love in our hearts for the lost world, for our neighbors and for our friends. What we in the church desperately need is love, to be touched by God's love for this world. Somehow it's much easier for children, isn't it, to understand God's love, singing those lovely children's songs, than us adults with all our hang-ups. The renowned theologian Dr. Karl Barth was spending an evening with an intimate circle of friends, curious to know more about the great theologian's thinking. One of them present asked him, what is the most profound thought that has ever entered your mind? After a brief moment of reflection, Dr. Barth replied very simply, the most profound thought I've ever known is the simple truth. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. God is love, and as we are reminded in that famous verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And as we have just heard read, Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And of course, that's what he did. This is my command, love each other. So let's share the love of Jesus, quite simply, by loving others. The second leg, grace. Grace always reminds me of a New Yorker cartoon of two tramps on a park bench with their sandwiches and looking very scruffy, and two very smart businessmen passing in suits with briefcases. And one tramp turns to the other and says, "There but by the grace of God go I." At the core of the Christian faith is grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's amazing gift to us. Jesus laid down his life to save us, a totally innocent man, dying in our place to be our savior, saving us from eternal sin by giving us eternal life when we repent and come to God through the love, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Picking up Paul's words to the early Christians we've just heard in the gospel, God's message surely to us as well. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has done among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So let's quite simply accept the grace of our Savior Jesus, God's gift of forgiveness, and share it with others. And the third leg of the stool, truth. Now, luckily for you, I'm not a theologian, otherwise this could go on a very long time, perhaps a whole series of sermons on truth. I'm just going to dive into this Sowing, Reaping, Keeping book for a moment. In a postmodern world, people don't want to know our truth until they've had a glimpse of our hearts. It is love that changes everything. God's love in sending his son, the love of Christ in his death and resurrection. In a world which is cynical, truth has to be bumped into. As we've heard, Jesus, when he was up in front of Pilate, said, "I came into the world to testify to the truth." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" And quoting from a book called Thinking Clearly About Truth, that single question has reverberated along the passages of history. Probably no single period of time has offered less of a reply than the 20th century. Pilate's question, "What is truth?" remains, and our silence is deafening. A boy was in trouble with his father, and father said, "I want an explanation, and I want the truth." The son said, "Make up your mind, Dad. You can't have both." In our case, I think we can. I think Jesus is both the explanation and the truth of our Christian faith. In the Gospels, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," at least 80 times, and probably said it a lot more, which wasn't recorded. And as we've just heard, Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus lived. That's a true historical fact. Jesus was crucified. That's true. Jesus rose from the dead. A number of academics and lawyers have tried to disprove the resurrection by exploring in great detail all the evidence from the Bible and many other sources. None have succeeded. In fact, a number of them have written books describing how they became totally convinced of the truth and became Christians as a result. So what more truth do we need? As we've heard, Thomas doubted and then he believed, so must we. So then let's share the truth of Jesus and let people bump into it, using those words, through us. So finally, coming back to the sharing part of this mission, sharing the love, grace, and truth of Jesus at two levels, shall we say. First, individually. So how do we do that? Well, in line with the sowing, reaping, keeping model, if you like, it's what's known as friendship evangelism. A small word here or there, not a sermon on a soapbox, but our Christian witness, day in, day out, helping each other, having a real interest in others, being sensitive to others, getting alongside people, going the extra mile, In fact, loving others without saying so and passing on the love of Jesus. People will know we are churchgoers, we are Christians, so they may question us about that. Peter, in his first letter in the New Testament, says to the early Christians, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And I think that goes for us too, doesn't it? To everyone who asks, not everyone we meet. But first and foremost, what matters is the person we are, not what we do. And at another level, the important level for us this evening as a church, how should we share the love, grace, and truth of Jesus? That's our church's mission, as we said. We are a church in Verbier. Our mission field is Verbier and surrounding villages. So many good people in Verbier are leading very full and busy lives on the surface, but empty lives inside, spiritually empty. Sowing, Reaping, Keeping has a very topical section later on about a group or church starting a revival, and they call it, he calls it, spreading the disease of Christianity, starting an epidemic. Another way, I'm quoting, another way of thinking about this is that, this is very topical, I think, isn't it? Another way of thinking about this is that we want to start an epidemic, but this is a positive epidemic. It is an epidemic of love. We can learn from the understanding of how diseases spread. Epidemiologists ask these questions when they try to evaluate how serious a disease is. Do you have the disease? And do you have a strong enough dose that you can pass it on? How contagious is the disease? How easily does it spread from you to other people? How many people do you know? The more people you're in contact with, the closer community you live in, the greater the potential danger. Does that ring a bell? Well, to help us to help us in all this as a church, we've drawn up some key objectives. And in fact, without objectives, any organization, including a church, is literally aimless. We're going to look at our objectives after the next hymn. Then we'll explore all this and during the next season, I suggest, so that we can help each other to be stronger in our faith and stronger in our Christian witness. Changing our good intentions, that's our objectives, into great results for the Lord. Nothing less than a revival in this amazing corner of his kingdom in the Alps. A short prayer. Lord, please help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be stronger and more confident in sharing the love, grace, and truth of Jesus Christ, both as individuals and also as your church here in Verbier. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.